is our interest in your prayers as we approach our subject tonight. One of the things that Brother Jim asked for in his prayer was that we might grow from the things we learn. Tonight is a lesson that I believe all of us could, at least myself, and I suspect you, that we could all grow in our use of this tongue. Not that we would use it more, but use it better, right? Okay. So our lesson, our last lesson, strongly emphasized that faith without works is dead. Here we consider the works of our tongue. Let me pause for a second. Think about how you've used your tongue so far this week. Although a small member of our body, yet it can have a very profound effect upon us and others, right? Controlling it is often ignored, causing great harm. Controlling it is often ignored. I think we can see a great opportunity for some growth in our own personal witness in this lesson. Wherever we are, even if we do a good job of controlling it, just by virtue of the fact that there's such a lesson in the Word of God, should cause all of us to pause and consider what it's saying. James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Among the Jews there were many teachers and masters. They were quick to tell others how to live. We got those around today, don't we? Okay. In Matthew 23:10, let me turn to that real quick. I didn't want to take the space to put the text there, but Matthew 23, if you remember, not verse 10, it's a little bit sooner than that. Matthew 23, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. We don't want to be like that, do we? Okay? So you want to correct that. It's instead of Matthew 23:10, it's Matthew 23:3. Those who major in such always want to be the teacher, and it fosters a proud spirit that quickly condemns others. They're kind of haughty. They always want to tell folks, other folks, what to do. They usually want to keep the focus on you because they have plenty of faults they don't want you to see. You ever been around folks that always want to control the conversation? Okay. This is so contrary to true godliness and humility. True godliness. True godliness with humility, mercy, and love toward brethren. That's how we need to be living among ourselves, isn't it? Humble, loving mercy, walking with our God and fellowship with one another. James reminds those that they will receive the greater condemnation. As Jesus taught in Matthew 7 and 2, with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. You know, oddly, Matthew 7, 1, probably one of the most quoted verses of Scripture in the world. Judge not. I'd like to stop right there. Judge not. Don't judge me. That's not saying we can't judge. We can judge righteous judgments, but we shouldn't be hypocritical. We shouldn't be a hypocrite about it, and we shouldn't be, you know, like James is talking about here. All right? Because the Lord said, with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. If you're going to be critical, if you're going to be always trying to be the teacher and condemning others, then you better be careful. You're going to be judged straightly as well. Okay? So, if you're always critical and dealing harshly, you'd better get ready to receive the same standard of treatment. Okay? And the Lord is in control of that, not you. First, take care of the log in your own eye. Remember how that Matthew 7 continues on? let me turn to that real quick. I could probably quote it, but I want to make sure I don't skip something. After he says, for in Matthew 7, verse 2, after he says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Sounds an awful lot like sowing and reaping, doesn't it? Okay. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? Do you know what a mote is? What? Yeah. Splinter or speck. Just a tiny thing. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam, a log, that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Isn't that, they call that the illustration, an illustration in the absurd, a way of amplifying the lesson? But just go with that for a second. Can you just imagine somebody with this huge piece of wood in their eye, and they're trying to tell somebody else how to get a speck out of theirs? Isn't that ridiculous? And yet, those that are always wanting to be the master, those that are always wanting to be the teacher, those that are always wanting to tell others what to do, they're just like that. And you can spot it, can't you, if you know the Word of God. So James starts out this lesson now because those people are using their tongue a lot. Okay? So we have this foundation laid about those that can be hypocritical, those that can be critical, those that can be always criticizing. He says, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Okay? So getting back to the notes. First, take care of the log that's in your own eye. Those always using their tongue to magnify faults in others need to consider themselves and humble themselves to work more righteously, or the Lord will humble them himself. Isn't it better to judge ourselves so that we're not judged? Yeah. Okay, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Wow. To me, that's the thrust of this whole lesson right there. If you're able to control this tongue and not offend in word, then you're able to control the whole body. That's a powerful lesson, isn't it? Wow, that's something we need to know, isn't it? That's something that would help us honor the Lord better. Every day. Every day. This is a powerful lesson, and yet it's one that's so often ignored. God's not pleased when His little ones are offended. If one does, the word says it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. One of God's humble children. Even though he may be 102 years old. We're talking about God's humble poor. God's children. Offending God's children is a big deal with the Lord. We need to be careful, don't we? You remember Saul of Tarsus, his experience on the road to Damascus. Saul was breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And Jesus appeared to him in tremendous glory and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He's taking it personally. And he's still doing that tonight. We need to be careful not to offend. So the verse said, "For in many things we offend all." It's possible that we may offend somebody and not even realize it. But if we're not careful, if we have a sour attitude, having a bad day, you know, that happens, doesn't it? But if you're not careful, you can let those kind of things control and offend one of God's little ones. And that's not good. Now, this does not warn against godly rebuke. If we're mature and if we're going about it the right way, we could admonish one another. And if they're in the right spirit, they can receive it and we can both be benefited by it. But what he's talking about here is careless words. Being careless with your tongue. Okay? So, this does not warn against godly rebuke, but from careless words spoken in a bad spirit. This can happen so easily, can't it? And there's something about it that just seems like it's so easy to hurt the ones that's closest to us. Isn't that odd? But it happens. But if we would be perfect, and I think we've talked enough about that word perfect in lessons in recent months. We're talking about being spiritually mature, aren't we? Circumspect in our thinking, well-rounded in our thinking, considering all around us and what's going on and how we need to respond. If we would be perfect before God, then we must be thinking about thinking more about pleasing God than others around us. We want to be kind to others, but first and foremost, we want to please God. I keep going back to Abraham. The Lord said, "Walk before me and be thou perfect." And that thought has just stayed with me here lately. Walking before God. Not just walking. Everything is open before Him, isn't it? But for Abraham to have the presence of mind that he's walking before God. That is, he's keeping the Lord in mind. He wants to please the Lord in all that he's doing. He's walking before the Lord, not trying to run away from him. Okay? So, if we would be perfect before God, then we must be thinking more about pleasing God than others around us. What Christ do we present to others by our words and deeds? Make sure you get what I'm talking about here. Christ of the Bible is according to truth. But so many people today try to worship the God that they want instead of the God that he is. So if somebody's looking at your life, what Christ are you presenting to them? If you claim to be a Christian, if you say that you're following God's word, then what Christ do they see in the example you're providing, in the witness you're providing? He's talking about our tongue. So that relates quite a lot to our words. Deeds also, but the lesson tonight is words. What do we like to talk about? What do we spend our time talking about? How are we representing the Lord with the affections of our heart? The main point in this lesson from James is found in this verse. Great spiritual maturity is proven by how well we consistently control our tongue. And we all need this, preachers included. We all need this lesson. James says, if you do this, then you're able to bridle, that is, steer and control, the whole body. That's what we want to do. Keep our body under subjection before the Lord so that we can honor him. After all, it's his body, isn't it? Because we're bought with a price. Okay? Now, can you see the impact of this good skill on your spirituality? Now, I chose that word carefully, skill. You know, some folks are blessed to be born with a talent. And talents can be improved. But a skill is something that you have to work at to develop it. And being a good disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is something we need to be working at. We need to be diligent in what we're doing so that we can serve the Lord as best we can. And so the tools that he gives us in his word, one of those tools is trying to control this tongue. It's a good skill to develop. So it has a tremendous impact on our spirituality, doesn't it? You know, have you ever noticed, you know, maybe you were feeling bad, some things weren't going well, and you started dwelling on the negative. Have you ever noticed how bad that makes you feel? You start talking about things that you might not talk about otherwise, or saying things in a way that you don't normally say them. It's just bad to dwell on those negative things, especially. And we're especially given to that when we're tired or not feeling well or things are not going well. We need help, don't we? So we need to remember, well, if we just control this tongue, it'd go a long way in helping us through such situations as that. Isn't that a wonderful lesson for us to have in the Word of God? I see some nods, but I didn't hear too many amens. All right. All right. And also, the impact of this good skill will have on your spirituality and also on your daily witness as you represent Christ in the world. What if the only Christ anybody ever saw was from you?
Kind of way bad.
Well, if we're serious about representing the Lord well, we need to work on some things, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Need to keep it in mind, and I'm sure you do. But I'm just saying we all have room for improvement. All right? If we're careless, we often offend. The verse said, "For in many things we offend all." If we're careless, if we're not thinking like we should, you know, if you just let this flesh take on autopilot, you're in trouble. It takes effort to think about serving the Lord and think about what we're going to do and how we're going to go about doing it. But if we're mindful and loving in our walk before God, then we exercise more control over our tongue. As David said in Psalm 39:1, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." And it's good to do that before all people, especially brethren. Keep our tongue. Okay? Now, verse 3. "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Maybe I should have talked to Sister Sarah more about this before we talked about this tonight. I've not worked with horses. I know very little about, but I get the concept, and I think you can too. You know, it's simple enough, isn't it? Put a bit in the horse's mouth, you can help us to control them. All right. James begins to give us several familiar examples of small things that allow us to control much larger ones. Now, with some training. You know, I don't know what it's like for a horse that is not accustomed, you know, that's not broke. I don't know if it's hard to get a bridle on them or not. Yeah. All right, so with some training, like us, we need some training, don't we, to have that bridle so that we can control our tongue. Take some training. All right? With some training, a small bit in a horse's mouth enables one to turn a large and strong animal. They are large, and they are strong. You need some help, don't you? Okay. Well, how well could you control a horse without it? I mean, just imagine. It'd be kind of tough, wouldn't it? I mean, they're strong. A lot of them are big. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't get very far, would you? Okay? Might it go the wrong way without pulling on that bridle? You know, if you just kind of let them do what they want, even if you've got a bridle there, if you don't do anything with it, they're likely to go a different direction than you want, right? Okay? How needful and useful is it that one with wisdom and knowledge of which way to go be using the bridle? Okay, I mean, that's probably a lot more than you think about in riding a horse, but the point is that bridle enables you to steer and control. And James is telling us our tongue needs some steering and it needs some control. Anybody here that's never offended anybody with your words? I don't think so. And I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying we're all in the same boat. Yeah. That's right. All right. So how much better is it for all concerned when the horse is bridled and in good control? See, it may not just be affecting you. It affects others around you. You know, I'm sure we've all been in situations where folks around you weren't controlling their tongue and you wish they would just hush. To be nice about it, okay? All right, so there's a need, great need here for that. So many offenses and divisions among friends, families, and churches could be avoided. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now I know the rudder is what makes it, moves in the water and makes the ship turn, but there's a governor up there on the helm, a very small thing, yet having a tremendous impact, right? I mean, the lesson's clear, isn't it? Okay. So here's an even greater example of the very same principle. Like the bridle, regular attention. Now here's another element of what needs to happen with this control. Regular attention is a must if we're to maintain control and move in the proper direction. Not that you adjust it once in the morning and you're good for the whole day. It's something you got to pay attention to, right? All right. Even in fierce adversity. You know, he speaks about even in fierce winds, that ship can be steered. So even if we're facing some fierce adversity, we still have a need to control our tongue, right? The Bible tells us a soft answer turneth away wrath. And in my years of computer customer service, I had the opportunity to use that verse extensively. Because when folks called and had problems, they weren't always in the best of humor. And it was business software, and so some things can wait, but when it was a payroll problem, they didn't want to wait at all. Okay? So, and you know what that's like. But even in fierce adversity, if we will control our tongue, we will be much better off. Right? Autopilot is not good without attention. We've had some things make the news. You know, a cruise ship pilot, you know, neglecting his job and running aground. Airline pilots, you know, I know that they can take off and land with these control navigation systems today, but it's just a little more comforting to know that somebody's watching those controls. Okay, so there are limitations to this autopilot. Well, the tongue needs attention. All right. Keeping a sober mind, exercising vigilance, and ever desiring to honor the Lord. Those things govern the use of our tongue. Keeps us in the right frame of mind. It keeps us wanting to please the Lord. Keeps us reminded that we were apt to not do what we should. Okay? But rest assured, the ship will go wherever the governor allows or steers it to go. Right? If you're not giving attention, it's just going to go where you allow it to go. I'm talking about the tongue now. If you're not paying attention, this tongue can get us into trouble. Okay? All right. Verse 5. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. All right. So he's gone from control, like a bridle in a horse's mouth, and the need for attention to it, like a helm on a ship, even in adverse winds, fierce winds, still needs that control and attention. Now he's bringing in something else. He's bringing up fire. Fire. Being so small, it can affect great things, good or evil. Okay? We've all heard of great destruction that started from a little fire. Fire is one of those things that it's just ravenous, isn't it? It can spread. You need to give it attention, don't you? Brother Jim had an experience recently about burning off some land. Needed to keep attention with it, didn't you? It can get out in a hurry. What do you think that's? The tongue has anything like that? Yeah. If you're not watching it, if you're not careful, tongue can get out of control, can't it? All right. James is presenting a wonderful lesson here. One that if we lay to heart, we stand to gain a great deal of understanding about how we can live more honorably before the Lord if we apply these lessons. So here he's bringing in an element of fire, comparing a tongue to fire. All right? So we've all heard that great destruction has started from a little fire. Would that good words and deeds could have as much effect and give as much glory to God as the destruction of evil and offending words. Now, it's good for us to praise the Lord. And we ought to be doing that more than we should. I mean, more than we do. But what we should be doing is being mindful of this tongue so that it's not like a fire that breaks out and hurts. You know, those sometimes words can burn. They can sting. They can hurt. Every one of us knows that. But this precisely illustrates the power that the tongue wields. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Not good, this kind of fire. Okay? Careless words can burn and hurt like a fire unwatched. And there's an endless supply of the words that flesh will prompt us to use. Right? Have to be careful, don't we? Need to control it. We must always be mindful of our fleshly nature that wants to follow this course of nature, which can so easily and quickly rear its ugly head as life goes on. Oh, we've all found that to be the case, haven't we? If we're not careful, this old flesh and the promptings of it can just flare up so quickly. Got to be careful, don't we? Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now we're tying something else to this tongue. It's prompted by the abundance of what's in the heart. Okay? That's why it's so important to keep our heart's affection in check. Someone who's always focusing on fleshly things will reveal it in the words that they love to speak, defiling the whole body. Defiling the body. All right? Jesus said it's not what enters into that into a man that defiles him, but he says those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. All right? So, you know, you've heard that expression, whatever came up came out. That's not a good thing, is it? Just because it comes to mind doesn't mean it needs to come out the mouth. Okay? But we all know somebody like that, don't we? Okay? And maybe we've been given to that at times. All right? But part of this control of this tongue is to keep some of those things from coming up and coming out of our mouth. Because the more of those things that come out of our mouth, the more defiled we are. Okay? All right. So, fleshly words fuel many fires to the devil's delight. You know, I talked about a while ago that maybe you're not feeling well or having a bad day or things are not going well, and you start saying things, and if you start dwelling on the negative, it just seems to keep multiplying. When a person's in that frame of mind, the devil's got them right where they want them. And the old devil's just having a heyday. We're the loser. So we need to be mindful and careful to try to control our tongue and try to remember the witness that we're to have before others. All right, verse 7. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Now, some things I've thought about, I wondered, that would be a trick to tame some things. But the idea is just the general idea that there's a lot of things in this world that's been tamed, and I've seen some things that I was amazed that it was tamed. So I'm just going to go with the word. It's talking about a lot of things. Then verse 8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. Let that sink in for just a second. The tongue can no man tame. That tells me we have to keep working on it. Keep working at it. Stay vigilant. Keep it in mind. All right? So it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, a person who's walking in the Spirit, who's pleasing the Lord, we're not talking about that, are we? Okay. But that person needs to remember, you got to be careful. This old flesh can pop out quickly. Now, thankfully, I've known some folks that I've never seen that happen. Haven't you? But I bet you they had to work hard at it. They were diligent about it. I've known some folks that I never heard an unkind word from their mouth. I don't think that could be said about me. How about you? But we need to work at it, don't we? At least God has blessed us to know Him and to know some of His Word and to know that we need to work on it. And so we can try. And if we fail, we need to beg forgiveness in the name of our blessed Lord and get up and go again and try again. He knows our frame. He knows we're dust. But He's given us a way to walk before Him. So deeply consider the hurt careless words can cause. If you don't remember anything else tonight, remember that. Remember that. If we can keep from hurting someone with our words, I tell you, you've exercised a lot of control on this old tongue. Verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. Oh, isn't that awful? Which are made after the similitude of God. We ought to be representing the Lord. We ought to be providing a good witness to the Lord. Okay. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. We need better control of our tongue, don't we? We need to keep our heart and our mind set upon the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. Could this, verses 9 and 10, could this be any plainer? I mean, I think it says it just right. That's the way the Word of God is. It says it just right. But I'm saying sometimes it helps to explain, but that's just laid out very plainly, isn't it? This tongue, we use it for good. Sometimes we use it for bad. And it ought not to be that way. Love to God is not just words, but actions with them. Together, they prove who we love. Didn't Jesus say, if you love me, keep my commandments? So it's not just the words, but it's how we follow through. Words are good, aren't they? Words can be very welcomed, very kind, very gracious. But we need to follow through with our actions and not be a hearer only, but a doer of the work, right? Okay, verse 11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? You ever found that to be the case? Now, I'm not talking about tap water. That can vary, can't it? All right. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Have you ever picked an olive off of a fig tree? I know through grafting you can come up with some things, but that's not, he's talking about naturally speaking, okay? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? We understand that, don't we? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. The obvious lesson is that a child of God should bridle his words and live in such a way that it is clear that we are God's child. Plain and simple, isn't it? If our witness before others leaves them wondering whose child we are, we're not being Christ-like, nor are we representing him well before others. Oh, when you think about all that he's done for us, don't we want to honor him with our life, our words, our heart's affection, all that we do? We dishonor him, and we can hurt others when we're careless with our words. Brethren, these things ought not so to be. So bridle your tongue. Great lesson. Great opportunity for all of us to improve and honor the Lord. May the Lord give us grace to lay this to heart and put it into practice. Not just being a hearer, but a doer. Right? All right. May the Lord bless you, is our prayer.
That's a mighty good list. I think I need it.
I did too.
It's hard not to mess up sometimes, but I've been around it all my life and don't make it right. But I just been around a lot of it, and sometimes you just going to mess up.
Yeah.
I don't care what nobody says. You try not to, but you do.
Yeah, that's right. And if we're all honest about it, we'd have to say the same thing.
Well, yeah.
Someone have a, I'm sorry.
Thankfully, we can go to God and pray to
Yeah.